Welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
You know, today and this weekend, Christians all around the world take time to remember an event that occurred many, many years ago, but changed the course of history. It was at the time, hard to fathom, but cosmic and eternal in its impact. It was truly something that was central in the human story. And, you know, we're talking about, of course, the death of Jesus Christ, God himself, the Word who became flesh, made his dwelling among us, and his resurrection that we will be celebrating on Sunday. You know, this is an incredible weekend and very important part of our calendar as Christians. And, you know, as I was thinking about this morning, I was reflecting on how this message of Jesus is paradoxical in that, like, you can share it in a few moments and it can be received by faith. In the next few moments, we're going to be talking about what Jesus has done for us. And there will be people in this room that faith comes alive in your heart and you experience the love of God for yourself. It is amazing that in just a short moment, you can have an encounter with the living God. But at the same time, we're talking about something that is so exhaustive that over thousands of years, this has been discussed, debated, you know, considered fervently by many, many people, and it just continues to pour forth its wonder. It is inexhaustible in its nature. The gospel message, also known as the good news or the message of Jesus Christ, is so profound. And this morning, we're going to take some time to lean in and to look at this remarkable event, seek to understand a little bit about how it has an impact and is called to impact our lives today. You know, if you ever prepare an Easter message, you will quickly find that every scripture is relevant and all the scriptures are putting their hand up saying, pick me, use me today. And so we had to go on a Holy Spirit journey and asking God, Lord, help us to choose some scriptures that will illuminate what it is you want to share with your people this morning. And so having said that, there still is a lot of scripture that we'll be reading, which I think is fitting for a day like today. And so in these next few moments, I want to read a few selected scriptures and then also read some of the story of Jesus' crucifixion all those years ago. Does that sound okay? Yeah. We're going to begin with John chapter 1, verse 1, and we'll read up to verse 5 and then jump to verse 14. And it says this, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing has been made that has been made, was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 14 says, the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We're talking about Jesus, the Word of God, who was with God and is God. Fast forward from his arrival, we find Jesus at the point of his death. We're going to pick up the story now in John chapter 19. And we're going to read through this, so bear with me as I read, but you can watch along on the screens. Or you can just listen and allow it just to wash over you. We're going to read about the story in this time when Jesus was set to be crucified. It says, then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again saying, hail, King of the Jews. And they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, here is the man. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, crucify, crucify. But Pilate answered, you take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him. The Jewish leaders insisted, we have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside to the palace. Where do you come from? He asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. Do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said. Don't you realize that I have power either to free you or crucify you? And Jesus answered, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and he sat down in the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement. It was the Passover day of preparation. It was the preparation day for the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said, and to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side with Jesus in the middle. Jump down now to verse 28 of the same chapter. "Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.' A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.' With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." Two more scriptures I want to share with you this morning before we unpack this and discover what it is God wants to say to us. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 19 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 21 goes on to say, "God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And our final scripture before we pray is Romans 6, verse 5 to 11. And it says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Title of my message this morning is The Death of Death. We are going to pray. Lord, more than anything, I ask for your Holy Spirit to be present. Lord, you are the one who draws people to yourself, and I pray that through these scriptures and through this incredible time where we get to reflect on what you did for us, I pray that hearts would come alive in faith, that something would take place in the hearts of people in this room that would be with them forever. And we pray right now, Jesus, that you do what only you can do. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Now, many of you may not know this about me, and that is, as well as being a pastor, I'm also a passionate artist. Yeah, who would have thought, right? So, good or bad, you know, that's subjective, so I won't go there, but passionate, very much so, yes. Now, I haven't painted much in these recent years because I have two daughters, 5 and 3, and I've got one on the way, due in 4 weeks tomorrow. Yeah, how good is that? So give it up for my wife, amazing. So I'm on a bit of a hiatus or a multi-year sabbatical from my art, or exile, depending on how you are. Perceive it. But the point is, when you are creating something, you pour your heart into it. And the very first chapter of our Bible, Genesis chapter 1, is this account of God's creative works, of his creation. And it is amazing. We're talking about stars. We're talking about the ocean. We're talking about the heavens and the earth. We're talking about things that we still to this day are humbled by, that we stand in wonder as we observe. These are the things that God created in Genesis chapter 1. He is a creator God. What is so interesting is that when it comes to the pinnacle of God's creation, what he actually creates is something in his own image. And what he actually creates is you. You are the pinnacle of God's creation. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." He created you in his image. We, as people, were created to be image bearers of God, reflecting God's glory and representing God in creation. We were created to reflect who he is. This is what God intended for us. Now, we observe God through scripture, throughout history, and what we come to realize is that our God, as Psalmist says in 119, is good and does good. God is magnificent. God is good. God is relational. God is perfect. Now, as we observe who God is through scripture and through history, as we observe who God is through his creation, and we discover that he is good, and then we recognize we were created in his image, you, like me, may ask the question, well, what happened? Why is it that if God is good and does good, and we were created in his image and called to reflect his glory, why is it that throughout history and in the history of humanity, we have been dogged by disaster and, you know, destruction and death and pain? Why is it that we are in such a broken state? You know, when we reflect on this question, this is really best understood through a story that is given to us in Genesis chapter 3. It's the story of Adam and Eve. You see, in this story, we see Adam and Eve walking with God, in perfect communion with God, in perfect communion with one another. They experienced and lived life as God intended all of us to experience it. And as they lived this life, they would talk to God, walk with God, have God a part of their life. They had work and jobs and roles, and there was a function that they were called to be a part of. And they were also welcome to eat from what the Bible calls the tree of life. In the middle of the garden was a tree of life, and they were permitted to eat from that tree, allowing them to live forever with God. And from this story, what we can understand is that God's intention for us is not death. That his intention for humanity is that we would live forever with him. And what happens in this story is people make the choice to turn, as it were, the mirror of their lives that were called to reflect God back on themselves. And humanity and people then and now chose to make themselves God in God's place. And instead of reflecting his glory, became consumed with themselves, positioned themselves as God, made themselves the arbitrators of truth, deciding based on their own judgment what is right and what is wrong, and positioning themselves in the middle of creation. And this rends people away from God. This choice to turn from him to ourselves actually separates us from him. The Bible and in our theology, this is referred to as sin. What's important to understand when it comes to the death of Jesus and the crucifixion that we are remembering today is that God didn't intend for people to die. That's not his heart. In fact, I love this verse in 2 Samuel 14, verse 14, where it says, "Like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be recovered, so we must die." But that is not what God desires. Rather, he devises ways so that a banished person does not remain banished from him. When we ripped ourselves away from God and made ourselves God in his place, we unwittingly separated ourselves from life itself, and we encounter the absence of life, which is death. But God did not desire that. And he strategized. He came up with a way. He devised plans so that a banished person does not remain banished from him. And so when God, looking at the problem that we find ourselves in, this problem of sin and brokenness, he devises a way to take you and I, the banished, the broken, the anxious, the worried, the hurting, those who have experienced death and have aspects of their life tending towards death. He said, "I have devised a way." And what was God's solution to our problem? Himself. And in this act of absolute wonder, in his passionate love for us, he does what none of us could have imagined. He gave himself. God's solution was himself. And as we read in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and his glory is seen in the one and only Son who comes full of grace and truth." One of the names for Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, who is fully God, became fully man, and this is known as the incarnation. And where we failed to be image bearers of God, where we were unable to live up to the vocation that God had for people, Jesus succeeded. Where we fell, he stood. Jesus was perfect. He lived in perfect harmony with his Father. He was in relationship with God and was led by the Spirit. He did what you and I wanted to do, but found ourselves unable to do. And then because of that sin, and through sin, death has no hold on him, has no claim on him. There is nothing in Jesus that allows death to enter. He is one with the Father. And then because of his passionate love, because of God's passionate love for people, he does something that is remarkable, something that is completely unconscionable, something we never would have thought of, and that is he self-sacrificially gives himself over to death. You've got to remember, for Jesus, his life was not taken, it was given. In John 10:18, it says, this is Jesus speaking, he says, "No one takes it from me," talking about his life, "but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again." And this is why in his conversation with Pilate, who thinks from his worldly perspective that he has control of the situation, it says, "Don't you realize I have the power to free you or to crucify you?" And Jesus says, "No, you don't realize. What is happening here is not by your hand. This is my doing. I am choosing to lay down my life and give myself over to a death that I do not deserve for the sake of those that I love." And in Jesus' self-sacrifice, he exchanges his perfection for our imperfection. He restores our right standing before God, reconciling us to himself. And as we read, "God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Where sin had condemned us, Jesus, the Bible says, condemned sin in his own flesh. He allowed himself to be killed, and he released us through this self-sacrificial death from the tyranny of death, and he reconciles us to God once more. And of course, on Sunday, as we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, it's a testimony to what he achieved for us as he gave up his life. That ultimately, when it came to a struggle between the Word, which is life, and death itself, it was death that was defeated. And it was life that was victorious. When Jesus gave himself over and rose again, it was the death of death. And we receive this new eternal right standing with God through a simple step of faith. 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 19 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," the decision to be in Christ, to receive Christ for yourself, "the new creation has come, the old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation," that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And this is the grace of God towards you and I this morning. I might invite our keys player just to come up to help me as we bring our service towards the back end now. You know, you might ask, well, what does it look like, this new life? How do I walk in it? How does it have an impact in my day-to-day? And, you know, the answer to that question is as diverse as the people who have experienced it. Many, many people in this room have had an encounter, have experienced the power of God in their own life, have received his forgiveness, and have experienced this new life. And if you talk to them, I'm sure they'd love to share it. We're called to be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have in Jesus. And the thing is, you know, when we hear all of these stories, there are similar themes but different circumstances. And so I thought for the next few moments I might share a little bit about how I have experienced this in my own life. And it begins with an understanding from this side of the story that it wasn't actually something I initiated, but that God Himself initiated on my behalf. You see, God was seeking me and my family out. And it was actually an Easter weekend just like this many, many years ago when my family first walked into our church here. And at that point, you know, we were just living life as best we could. You know, you'd like to think you're a good person, but if I'm honest, and I'll only speak about myself this morning, I was a young man, teenager, who was very insecure. I wanted to be loved. I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be a part of something bigger than myself. All of these inner desires that I now know are part of God's makeup in each of us. But I was very misdirected. I didn't know where to find what I was looking for. I would do anything and everything to fit in. I was a bit of a class clown. I was living my life my way, trying to make the most of what I had. And if you look at our family, you know, I'm one of three boys, and all of us were probably heading down a path that was not leading to life, but was leading to death. And my mom and dad at the time, you know, I'm so grateful for my mom and dad because of their humility. And they recognized that, you know, our boys, you know, they are just living life, but it's not all looking good. And part of their journey was going to seek some marriage counseling and get some help. And they went to a counselor that rented some space from our church. And while there, asked them, "What is this place?" The person said, "It's a church." And until that point, the only church we'd ever experienced was a very traditional church that didn't look like this. And so my parents went on this journey, and they also remembered a flyer that they had received in their mailbox and said, "This is the same place that we got that flyer from." And then at the same time, they had some friends who were born-again Christians who had been sharing with them about Jesus and about a different way to live. And they're like, "This is maybe one of those churches a little bit like our friends go to." And so with all of those various things, they made the decision to come to church on a Sunday morning. They come in, and what they experienced here was what I talked about earlier, an encounter with God, something within them. Without understanding all the ins and outs, without being theologians, faith ignited, and they said, "This is for us." They came home. They said to my older brother and I, our younger brother had come with them, "You guys have got to come to church tonight." And we're like, "Oh, no, please, we don't want to go to church. Oh, can't think of anything worse to do with my Sunday arvo." But my younger brother, who was about 9 at the time, he says, "Tim, you got to go to church because this church has drums." And I was like, "What are you talking about? It's a church, Jimmy. Churches don't have drums." He's like, "No, Tim, it has drums. And the drums have a force field." Believe it or not, I was a drummer at the time, and I thought, well, drums are the force field. I've got to see this. And we went along. And I remember walking into this place, seeing people my age passionate about God. I see people reaching out to God like we were this morning, hands raised. And to be honest, I'm a little overwhelmed. This is so far from anything I've experienced. But in my heart, curiosity starts to come. Questions start to arise. What is going on here? What is this freedom I'm observing? Why are these young people so... I was so worried about what people think. These people seem uninhibited. They seem free. And over the next few weeks, Mum and Dad would bring us every single week. And I remember on a Sunday night, 3 weeks later, in my own heart, faith came to the point of decision. And I said, "You know what, Jesus? I don't know how all this works, but I want you in my life. And I want to experience what I've been hearing about over these last few weeks." And then as I look at what God has done from that moment of faith, it truly was a old man has gone, new man has come. It was something that is beyond behavior that I experienced. It is a renewal of my spirit, and it brought about a reconciliation with my Creator. And the fruit of being connected to life itself, the impact of having a relationship with God who created you, is that in your life, this new life begins to flow. And little by little, He begins to help you, sharpen you, strengthen you, correct you, bring you into alignment so that those things that are not the image of God fall away and you become more and more the image of Christ. Bible says as you contemplate him, we are transformed into his image. None of us are perfect and we're all on a journey, but over the course of time, when you contemplate him, and this is why we need to be in environments of faith and go to church. And if you're somebody that's just come on Good Friday, God bless you. But the more you are around the Word of God and the community of faith and around the things of God, the more you will discover this new life starts to take a hold and shape and sharpen you, transform you until you are no longer living in that brokenness that you once were, and you are now walking as God has called you to walk. And so right now, what I want to do is I actually want to create a moment for us to recognize what is on offer for us through what Jesus did all those years ago. And to help create that moment, what I would love to ask you to do right now is to just close your eyes. I'm asking you to do this just so you can focus, so you're not distracted, so you can have your moment with God. This point of faith is a recognition of all that I've preached this morning, that you were created by God, that he loves you, that he has a plan and a purpose for you, that you were not created for death. You're not created to be drawn to things that destroy you or destructive or are destructive to you. You were created for life. You were created to know God. You were created to be in relationship with him, to be able to stand with God. Like we read in the beginning, people were created to walk with God, to commune with God, to have God in their life, leading them, walking with them, and for that to overflow in their relationships and the world around them. God loves you. And I don't know what life has looked like up until this point, but if there has been death and destruction, if there have been things that are not the image of God that have robbed you of your joy, if there has been regret, brokenness, things that have happened in your life that you know are not in the heart and the character and the nature of God, then right now the offer before you is, will you die to death? Will you let go of all of those things that are not of God and return to God by faith? And as we read in the scripture, that anyone who is in Christ, it's time to die to death, to die to sin. The final scripture we read, which I'm going to read again now, says this in Romans 6, 5 to 11. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin may be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. If death, destruction, if sin has ruled in your life, then the simple act of placing your faith in Jesus, dying to yourself, dying to that brokenness and that separation from God, dying to the need to be God, and by receiving Christ back as God, you find yourself in him, free from that brokenness and reconciled to God. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we'll also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has any mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Just while your eyes are closed, if you're in this room and the faith that I talked about experiencing all those years ago is starting to percolate in your heart, you have that realization that the death and the brokenness and the destruction in your life is not God's will, and that there is a solution. He has devised a way that a banished person can be brought back to him, and you are saying, hey, I'm ready to come back to God, to experience life and to receive God in his fullness, to have my old life gone and a new life here, then what I want to do is I want to lead you in a simple prayer. The Bible says it's so simple. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is who he says he is, that he rose again, that he died and rose again, and then you pray out to him, you'll be saved, rescued. You will be made right with God. And so with every eye closed right now, I want to lead you in a simple prayer. And I want to encourage you, if you're that person that needs to pray this from your heart to God, do it. And let the miracle of salvation take place in your own life. So everyone right now, Can we all pray this prayer so that those who are praying it maybe for the first time or first time in a long time, that they're not alone? Let's repeat this prayer to God after me. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me. And on this Good Friday morning, I recognize what you have done for me, that you made a way for me to be reconciled with my Creator. And so this morning, through faith, I receive what you have done on my behalf. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and to make me a new creation. I declare you Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I want to reflect your glory. So would you walk with me? Would you talk to me? And would you live in me? In Jesus' name. Wonderful. Just while your eyes are closed, just right now, I know God's ministering to people. I don't want to rush this moment because it's miraculous, it's profound, it's spiritual. You are being born again. The old has gone and the new has come. If you prayed that prayer with faith, that is all God requires, to receive Him as Lord and Savior. And now you can allow Him, life itself, to begin flowing, to bring healing, to bring freedom, to bring breakthrough. And little by little, you're going to find yourself reflecting God's glory and experiencing life, as Jesus promised it, life to the full. And it's as simple as that step of faith. In fact, this morning, what I want to do is I want to pray for people who crossed the line in their heart. They prayed that prayer and it meant something to you. And I'm just going to ask, if you prayed that prayer right now in this room and it really meant something to you, you prayed it from your heart, would you just let me know who you are, just wherever you are? I'm just going to ask you to give us a quick wave. Quick wave, hand straight up, back down. If that was you and you prayed that prayer and you opened up your heart to God, yeah, amazing decision, amazing decision. Yeah, amazing decision. Who else is like, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. I have faith this morning. If that's you, just give us a quick wave. Yeah, great decision. Who else this morning, you prayed that, you know that it was a prayer of faith. Great decision. Just one more time. I want to pray for anyone who has just crossed that line in their heart. I'm going to pray for your experience this week to be one of the power and the presence of God. Just, I'd love to include you in that prayer just so I know who to pray for. Just give us a quick wave wherever you are. Amazing. Well, Lord, we just thank you so much for those this morning that by faith have received what you have done for us all those years ago, when you, who death had no power of, gave yourself to death to defeat death that we may live in victory, that we may have life and life everlasting. And we thank you, Jesus, that this morning those who responded have opened up their heart to God, and that from this day forward into all eternity, long after their days on earth are done, that they would be walking in communion with their Creator. And we pray right now, Jesus, that this week your presence would be known, felt, seen. The impact of this new life will begin to permeate every part of their life, every relationship, every area of brokenness. God, do what only you can do. We thank you for this right now in Jesus' wonderful name. Come on, church, can we just honor God and thank God for what He's done in hearts this morning? People coming alive in faith to their Creator.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.